This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Again, if you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can re-listen to this program on my website, and you can read my weekly meditation on the website. If you want to be added to the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, you'll need to send me your name and address. So if you would like either my website address or my mailing address, you'll need to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write it down at the close of the program. Now, we've been working our way through Luke chapter 11. And of course, this is the Christmas season, and many people would probably want to be following a Christmas theme at this time. But in my mind, we cannot preach Christ without following a Christmas theme. And so I'm going to keep in mind that it is the Christmas season, but I am also going to continue from Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 14, where the Lord casts out a demon. And we might just remind ourselves that in Luke chapter 11 and verse 13, we concluded a section dealing with prayer. Not only did we look at the pattern prayer, but we looked at encouragement to pray. We looked at persistent prayer. And at the end of Luke chapter 11, verse 13, it says, "If ye then, being evil," or bad, "know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" And this verse has been used oftentimes to try to get people to ask for the Holy Spirit. And it's a little confusing because the Lord tells us that we don't have to ask for the Holy Spirit. We, in fact, get the Holy Spirit the moment we believe. We're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise the moment we believe. Now, that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit controls us the moment we believe, because we are told in Ephesians to be filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit. And so when we look at chapter 11 and verse 13, this could be saying that we should pray for the Holy Spirit to control us. But I have a problem with that, because really we need to die to self, and we need to allow the Word of God to guide us for the Holy Spirit to fill us. It's not a question of just praying for it, although we could pray about it. I would have no problem with people praying about it. But I think as you look at this passage, some have said this was a promise that was made before the Holy Spirit had been given to the church, and that's true. But I don't think that's even the issue here. There are those who point out that the definite article is not in the original language. How much more shall your heavenly Father give Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And really, they're saying, and I believe that in the context, they're saying that we should pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives, for the blessings of the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is operative, we're going to be blessed. We're going to be getting good gifts. And so I've always translated this, and I've looked at the other Gospels in doing that, that if ye being evil or bad know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the things of the Holy Spirit, or the enabling of the Holy Spirit, or the blessings of the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And I think we can pray for those blessings, and I think that's the proper way to interpret that verse. Now, when we come down to verse 14, then we move to another aspect of the Lord's ministry. It says, "And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was, when the demon had gone out, that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, he casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Others, testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to destruction, and a house divided against a house fails. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out?" And of course, here he's referring to the fact that he had commissioned the apostles and the 70 as well to go out and cast out demons. "Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. The first point I want to make in reading this section is that demons are real. Now, I realize that in our country and in our time, when we look at people who say they're seeing demons or are demon-possessed, we usually assume that there's a mental illness associated with that. And I do believe demon possession is reflected as a mental illness oftentimes. I just don't know how to reconcile the current medical practices with some of the things that I have seen and some of the things I have heard about in underdeveloped countries and countries that are very pagan. But I do believe that demons are real. And I do believe people are oftentimes possessed by demons. I have read many stories by people who have gotten involved in drugs, particularly with hallucinogenic drug types of drugs, LSD, PCP, and those kinds of drugs, who knew when they got involved in them that they were opening themselves up to demon possession, and that the end result of what they were doing was to take their own lives. It would be a suicide. And yet the attraction of what they were doing was so great that they were willing, for momentary pleasure, to put themselves into a perpetual state of demonic possession that ended up in suicide. The people that I have read about have been freed from that through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that while demons are real, we have to recognize that the Lord has power over the demons. Now, Satan is a very real enemy. He is sometimes presented to us as a bear, and that is, as someone who looks tame but who is not. Sometimes he is presented to us as a lion. He goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But he is always an enemy, and he is deceitful. He's a liar and the father of lies, and those who follow him are like him. Now, demons were part of the angelic host that was created originally. When Satan fell, there were angels that followed Satan, and those angels, as near as I understand it and can tell, have become demons. Some are already bound. I don't fully understand the history of all of this, but Jude and Peter tell us that some of those are already bound. But we know that many of them are doing the bidding of Satan out in the real world, and they are an enemy that we must contend with. And so I do believe that while Christians, those who have trusted in Christ, cannot be demon-possessed because they are possessors of the Holy Spirit, they can be a demon-oppressed. And yet the unsaved can be a demon-possessed. And I don't think that just because a person is demon-possessed and energized by demons that he's always a person who looks like he has mental illness. I think some are very slick people who are very charismatic, and yet they are energized in this way. All I'm saying is that while I don't want to go into it, and I don't want to get carried away with demonic teaching, I believe demons are real. Yeah, they were part of God's creation when he created angels, and wherever you want to put the creation of angels with regard to the story of creation is up to you, but we are told that they are created beings. We are told that they fell. And then the first evidence that demons are real was when Satan came to the Lord as a serpent in the garden, came to Eve as a serpent in the garden, and convinced her to take of the forbidden fruit. So the Lord has power over these demons, and that gives me courage, because no matter how much we are oppressed by demonic influence today, the Lord is greater, and he's in us through the Holy Spirit. And that's why I think it's important that we understand verse 13 of our last section. He has given us the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And those of us who are saved today have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So remember, this fight against evil is a real fight. And demons do try to destroy the peace and the harmony of those of us who have trusted in Christ. Now, when the Lord cast out these demons, it proved that he wasn't a demon, but instead he was the Son of God. And it's interesting, again, that the demons, that Beelzebub and others who really did not love the Lord, who really were doing the will of Satan, even if they weren't, as we would say, demon-possessed, they were trying to convince people that the Lord was, in fact, was doing Satan's bidding by casting out these demons. And the Lord says, look, that makes no sense. Why would I cast out demons if I am a demon myself? Why would I divide this kingdom against itself? And so while the argument made no logical sense, yet people were trying to prove this, that the Lord was demonic himself. And of course, this was really one of the things that's involved in our unforgivable sin, where we take the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which would prove that Jesus is the Son of God, and we apply that to Satan himself. In other words, we say that the Lord isn't who he really is, and we deny his claim as Christ. But casting out demons proved that he had greater power than the demons. The demons were real. He had greater power than the demons, and it was one of the things that should have proved that he was the Son of God. And of course, as you go into this section, they want a sign from heaven that he is, in fact, the Son of God. And later on, we'll find out that the Lord does give a sign from heaven. He, of course, gives the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that he came as the Messiah, came as a babe, yes, in Bethlehem's manger, but the reason for the season is not to be a babe in Bethlehem's manger. The reason for that season was to name him Jesus, because he would save his people from their sins. And then he would go to a cross of Calvary, and there he would destroy the power of Satan forever by dying for our sins and by being raised from the dead. And I hope that you are one of those who have put your trust in him and know that this is the Son of God and that this is your Savior and that he did die to deliver you from the power of Satan himself and from the power of eternal conscious destruction forever. Those who trust in the Lord are saved, and those who deny him will be lost. They will die in their sins, and they will be lost forever. But what a joy it is to tell you that Christ came. He died, he's been raised, and he's available as our Savior. And for those who trust him, we love him. And this is a blessed truth that we leave with you today. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon the program and upon those who have listened. We commit ourselves into your loving care in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.